Hi, this is Rob Taylor for Ghosts and Haunts, and this is the third edition of Ghosts and Haunts Radio, or blog group. And today we've got a little bit of treat for you. Today we have the members of the Matrix Paranormal Group with us, and they're going to be telling us a little bit of the some of the recent adventures they've had in Alabama, in Mobile, Alabama. With us we have Stephen Matrix. Say hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve. No, I'm sorry. Hello, Rob. How are you, man?
Pretty good. And we also have Cheryl with us, his wife.
Hello. How are you?
And also we have Maria, which she is the resident sensitive or medium or psychic with the group.
Hello. Good to be here.
All right, Steve. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened to you in Mobile, and where did you go?
Specifically, the first day we were there, we went to Dolphin Island.
And what is Dolphin Island? Can
Dolphin
you tell us a little
Island
bit about that?
Dolphin Island is a great little place, a former island where the Native Americans went quite a bit. If you read the information on the internet, it was used as, they also said it was a shamanic retreat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a place where they camped, they fished, they hunted. It wasn't a place that they could actually stay for long periods of time. There wasn't much on the island. So now it's been kind of turned into a resort, but it still has the old feel to it.
And is it, I take it this is outside of Mobile, Alabama?
It's about 45 minutes from Mobile. It's about a 45-minute drive.
Is it public access?
There is public access. You can go just head out there on a bridge. What is it, 45 minutes from Mobile? And then you get on the bridge. It's pretty easily accessible.
Heading east from Mobile over the bridge, the causeway.
Okay. And you got a chance to actually get onto the island, or what happened when you went there?
Yeah, we actually had a chance to drive right on in. We got there early enough in the day. Mm-hmm. Gave us the opportunity to do a little bit of adventure.
Well, that must have been neat. What kind of feeling did you get when you got to the island?
Didn't really feel much on the island itself until we got to the fort. Fort Gaines is on, I believe, the east side of the island. And if you look at some of the information on the internet, it's quite interesting what you find about the paranormal activity out there. There's been some groups that have been out there. And when we got out there, we were venturing around after the fort had closed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got up near the fort itself, you could tell there was an energy at the fort.
And, oh, wow.
And Maria had actually sent something. And this is in the daytime still.
Mm.
But the fort is surrounded by water. It's probably 40, 50 feet from the Gulf.
Yes.
So,
well, yeah, they always say water is kind of a, not necessarily an attractant, but a
conductor.
A conductor or an antenna to paranormal energies. So, very good.
And we had a interesting happening there. I motioned for Maria to come up and look through one of the openings into the into the fort, and I had a feeling that she was going to be that it was going to be one of those moments that threw her back, and she didn't disappoint. There was quite a bit of energy in there, and that she had sensed it probably immediately,
and truly it was quite unexpected, because when I sensed the highest activity, it seems to magnify it, and it's usually after dark. I'm not sure I can explain this. I don't have the explanations for everything. I believe that because life is more quiet, we are more in tune and more sensitive to,
right,
to feeling energies and connecting.
Well, plus there's less, just like for instance, if you're looking into the sun, you know, you're so blinded, you
right,
don't necessarily see all the things that are happening around. You're kind of so focused on that, it drowns out everything else. I think,
yes,
what
I agree. It's
explaining there is the same kind of effect.
More of a distraction.
Right.
Yes.
At night, you're more open to it, yeah, because of that.
So it's not been quite that often my experience to get such high energy during the day. I mean, it was still daylight. Beautiful location, by the way. It's really enchanting. And Steve pointed out to me that there's like an opening in that fort. It's a small opening, but how wide would you say it is?
Six to eight inches.
Is it like a window or?
It's a slit more than.
It's anything. A slit more than anything else.
It used to be an opening, and they put some bricks there so that people can't get into the.
Oh, right. So it's like a doorway, but just a small.
Bricks fill up around it so nobody can go inside.
Gotcha. Okay. So a sealed up doorway or entrance of some sort. Okay.
And he called it to my attention. He said, Maria, come over here. Take a look. So I'm curious. It's like, oh, cool. I get to see inside. Well, I'm really
don't
not.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yes. It's not that I'm not scared of energies, but it truly caught me by surprise. Right. I mean, I was barely within a feet distance. I'm trying to take a peek in there. And all of a sudden, this overpowering energy, and you could feel it. It was like right in front of me. Wow. I almost took a step back because it was so unexpected. I didn't go there to find anything paranormal. It was beautiful. It was during the day. We're looking at the fort. So it was quite overwhelming to the point where...
I took a step
back.
Now, you said they didn't feel negative or...
Oh, no. Just, absolutely not. What it is that if you catch me off guard... Mm-hmm. You're not going as an investigation. You just wanted to see, let me see what it looks in there. Unexpectedly, because it was quite early and quite a bit of daylight, mm-hmm. It was just so unexpected. And it was truly like right in my face.
Wow.
Was it negative? No, it was curious. I almost got a sense of humor from the other side. see, here we are. It saw me take that small jump back. So right. I'm thinking if it's that strong during the day, it's got to be amazing when the world is quiet, when there's less distraction.
Wow. That sounds like quite an adventure, even just to begin with there.
Yes.
What a way to start it.
That was actually within the first... That was actually within the first... What was it, 20 minutes we were there? 20, 25 minutes that we were there.
Wow.
And we were all laughing. I think she said there was a sense of humor from the other side. We were all laughing.
It broke the ice.
I would love to go back. It's definitely a location worth spending some more time.
Right. So then what happened after that? Did you get a chance to take any pictures? I know that your group is in some part, if not in a very large part, focused on photographic type of investigations. You like taking a lot of the pictures and
I do.
Trying to capture.
I do. It's one of those things a lot of people say they're a paranormal photographer, and I laugh because you get a paranormal photo when you're given permission or access by those on the other side.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, that's probably actually a new concept to a lot of people. I know that you and me have had many discussions about that, but why don't you elaborate a little bit about your thoughts on that?
I think that with the photography side of it, you go in. And my wife and I had an encounter back many years ago where there was a sensitivity, you need to take a photo here. And you've seen that photo.
Yeah.
And I get it even to this day. I'll walk into an area where I'll feel something. And many times Maria is with us because Maria is an intricate part of us going out and not only investigating, but just going out and seeing what we can find. And I'll get a feeling you need to take a photo here. I'll get an instant feeling that this area should be photographed. And Maria will at the same time say, there's energy right here.
Right.
Well, she detects energy in a different way. She connects with the other side in a totally different way than I do. And I connect just in a way of this. All of a sudden, there's something there that I know I need to photograph. And a lot of times when we do take the photograph, I will get something. But it's... In reality, it's something's led us to that point where the energy is such that there could very well be something that comes out on the photograph, and so it doesn't make you a paranormal photographer. It just makes you sensitive and more cognizant, there is something there, and I'm going to go ahead and photograph it. So the photographs are completely from a, maybe even, what do you call it, even even from a spiritual standpoint. You know, you just get that feeling in your gut that there's something.
Well, as you pursue that more, you become a little more in tune with that aspect of your photography to know sensitive. When to take
more
a picture.
Sensitive,
more
exactly.
sensitive to it.
And really, anybody who wants to do it, can, if they have the feeling, hey, I'd like to do this, this is really interesting to me, anybody can do it. It's right. not a specialized field by any means. And if
but it always helps to have a psychic or a medium along with you. I mean, I've long since been of the stance where I personally believe all paranormal groups should definitely have, you know, someone who is a sensitive on staff, because it's you wouldn't take a walk down a trail without having your eyes open. To me, it's the same thing, you know.
And that's exactly it.
Yeah.
It is. And we've known Maria for quite a number of years now, and gotten to have a personal history with her. And we know that when we take her along, and actually we're coming along with her. It's right. It's kind of a mutual thing. She never really comes along with us, because she's like a permanent part of she's like the steering wheel in the car, you know?
Part of the family.
She's like family, and we don't go anywhere to these places really without her, because right. there's been a bond that's been formed over the last several years, which that could be a whole other talk show. That's a whole other story.
But, formation of paranormal groups.
Yeah. Yeah, we did not form in a regular way.
Well, actually, you know what? You would be surprised. I've talked to a lot of different groups, and as it turns out, many groups, in a way, do form, whether it started out that way or not, but they form into almost family-type atmospheres, and that's more common than you would think, but that's cool.
We've had an interesting journey thus far.
Yep.
But anybody who wants to take photos, if they feel like this is something that they should do, then they should do it. And what you and I have discussed, putting things on the site at a later time,
right.
you know, discussing photography, because I think photography is an important part. I think it's as important as the EVP sessions, taping things, because
there's a place for everything.
There's a place for everything. I think it's just as important as video.
Yep.
It's just an important part of the whole investigation.
I mean, there's many tools at our disposal. That's one of them, and it's a very important one.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see more of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I didn't mean to digress off your original topic. You went in there and you started investigating. You did or you did not get a chance to take some pictures.
It was quite wet. It was hard to get. It had rained.
Okay.
So as you walk into the grass, you were kind of like sinking into the water. Uh-huh. Going there with the camera, the tripod, and all the equipment after that heavy rain would have been difficult. But it's definitely a place that we plan on going back.
Excellent.
I made the mistake of, I just said, I'm not going to take photos today because we'll make time for it, and we didn't get time for it.
Well, that just leads place. Into your next adventure there, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but let me go back. When I was finished with Maria and Cheryl, I walked back to the back of the fort, and I was able to find a little bit of a dry spot, and I was able to jump up on a ledge and look in the back room of the fort.
Uh-huh.
And it was full of water.
The fort was? Or the
inside room?
Room.
The first room where Maria had looked in, it was full of sand. You could tell from years of storms and years of the sand blowing in through the slits of the front uh-huh. part of the fort, that it was like a big sand dune, almost not that far from the top, actually.
Yeah.
And I went to the back and found the exact opposite. It was full of water. Looked
oh,
almost like a like an old castle, really, on the inside. This fort was built, in the 1800s. And you look in there, and it's totally dark, but you can see the water. And I got that same feeling. Yes. You need to photograph this in here.
Well, it's kind of for some reason I can't explain it why, but whenever you describe that, it just takes me back to the St. Augustine lighthouse, and I'm not sure why, but there. It's kind of the same situation where, you know, back then in those times, they actually had rooms, regular rooms or like basement type rooms that were designated as the water cisterns, where they actually filled them with water And that's all it was. It was like an indoor swimming pool where they kept the drinking water for when they would need it. It just kind of reminded me of that when you were
telling. And that could actually be what it was. Because we didn't know the layout of the fort when I looked in there.
Interesting.
And I knew that that place was full of energy when I peered through it. Didn't get a chance to photograph. But they also, if you look on the internet, people have seen apparitions at the fort after dark.
That's Fort Gaines.
G-A-I-N-E-S. Very active, which we all found out. And there was a story, I think, of three kids that were on their bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them saw an apparition. The same thing. They all saw it. Of a woman, I believe, dressed in 1800s garb. And, of course, they turned around and got back on their bicycles and rode as fast as they could away. So there are stories of apparitions after dark.
Apparitions.
And we all felt the energy.
During
the daytime.
Wow.
And strong. Very strong. And I'm sure the water had something to do with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, the water always attracts.
Now, as you mentioned, we went to, when we did come back, we went and stopped off in Micanopy, which is a little historic town in Florida. It's between Ocala and Gainesville. And we were between rains, between a storm.
Yes.
What was it? Maybe the first 15, 20 minutes, we felt absolutely nothing.
So this was after you'd already left Alabama, Mobile, Alabama.
Already left Alabama.
We're heading back to Florida
And we're heading
again.
Back, and I've been trying to get these guys to Micanopy for like the last year, year and a half. You and I were there.
Yeah, we've been there several times.
And we loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was nothing like when you and I were first there. This was a totally different feel in the atmosphere. The energy was higher, much higher.
Hmm.
But we didn't feel it for 15 to 20 minutes, I would say. And then Maria said, hey, come on over here. There's some energy here. And when I went over, I could immediately feel a difference. And that's when I wasn't going to get my camera out. I just wanted to give these guys a quick tour and then come back. And as soon as it hit me, I'm like, I've got to take a photograph here.
Wow. Well, hold that thought. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick pause here, and then we'll be back on the second segment of the adventures of Matrix Paranormal Group.
Are we going to the commercial sponsors?
Yeah, we're
going
to go to commercial sponsors. Thank you.
Well, Ghosts and Horrors Community Center.